time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Today on the Callahan Podcast, well, Joe Biden made it through his first national address. It was dreary. It was dull. It was tired. It was tedious, but what you'd expect. In other words, we'll play some of the highlights and lowlights and fact check Joe Biden from last night. Also, Tim Scott did the rebuttal, and he said one really, really outrageous thing. We will play you that and react to it. Also, the NFL draft is tonight. We're just hoping. We're with Max Kellerman. We're hoping it doesn't start with three white guys. I'm not sure I can handle that. Ayanna Pressley, my crazy congressman, says perhaps the most outrageous and slanderous thing she's ever said. All that today on the Callahan Podcast, brought to you by DCU. Do you love your car but hate your car payment? No problem. Refinance your car today with DCU and they can help lower your monthly payment, lower your interest rate, or both. Applying is easy, and the loan experts will help you find the loan term and the payment that fits into your budget. Get out of that high rate loan and get the interest rate and the payment you deserve from DCU. Learn more and apply today at dcu.org/refinance. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. Hi, Colleen. Let's do this.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
All right, we're going to get to that that long, tedious, flat, dull State of the Union, which wasn't actually a State of the Union. Technically, it was just a long, boring speech by the empty vessel in the White House. And I mean, I don't know about you, Turtle Boy, but I was very excited because two people without penises were behind him. And so that's historic. That's amazing. I got choked up just watching it. If you're watching on YouTube, some brilliant troll, I guarantee a right-winger, tweeted out a picture of Lloyd Christmas and Harry Dunn from Dumb and Dumber in the exact pose as Kamala and Nancy Pelosi clapping in the exact same way. It was perfect. The right is so much better at memeing and Twitter than the left. It's not even funny. And, you know, we should get to some of the tweets after Tim Scott's speech, because a lot of the Democrats showed their true colors and couldn't stand the fact that Tim Scott was so good. I was pleasantly surprised at Tim Scott's speech and wasn't surprised at all at just how flat and dull Joe Biden's was. We can get to some of that, get to my reaction. But first, I know you want to join me in this, Turtle Boy. We are celebrating because we're only one day away, one more day, buddy. And we are allowed to go outside without our masks. The governor, by decree, our benevolent leader in Massachusetts has said, along with the CDC, the national, you know, the oracle from which we get all our wisdom in on a national level, have both said that we're allowed tomorrow, Turtle Boy, to go outside and take off the cloth coverings off our mouths. Aren't you as excited as I am? I mean, I can't wait. It's like the most Christmas morning, man. We're going to go outside without masks tomorrow, Turtle Boy.
You're mocking it, Jerry, but the thing about it is there are actually people who are saying that. Like, I get to be free. The government has allowing me tomorrow to just go outside and breathe air. Oh my God, I'm going to do it.
It's so discouraging. And I've said this obviously for a year. You and I have talked about it many times. It's discouraging. The most depressing part of the pandemic of the last year plus is the level of submission, of compliance among the people, that they sit there and they wait, and they know it makes no sense. They know it's stupid to go outside with a mask when you're alone or you're running or biking, and they do it anyway because the government, whether it's the local government, the state government, the national, they wait for word from the government, even though they can do their own research and realize it's all theater. I want to know, I don't know, Colin, can we take a call today? I want to know, or maybe we could just hear from somebody on our in our YouTube audience. I want to know if any single person, if there's one person out there, maybe they won't be listening to us. I want to know if one person is waiting till tomorrow in Massachusetts or any other state that is loosening the rules and says, oh good, finally the governor is going to let me go outside without covering my face. I'm going to do exactly what I'm told. Is there a person like that out there? Because I tell you, I've done an informal poll so far. Nobody, or next to nobody, has lost the mask. It's still, we're still, I know you've been out, Turtle Boy, you've been going to stores because you're such a rebel. I don't go to stores without a mask, but I go outside and it's still 95%.
Not only I'm running for school committee in this town. I had a debate last night and everybody went in with the mask on, right? I took mine off, and guess what, Jerry? Four of the other candidates did too. I'm a trendsetter, and we were indoors. Wow. And then the moderator took his off too. Only one person kept theirs on. Just keep taking it off, baby. Nobody says anything.
I'd like to confirm that my daughter and I were masked up at the zoo yesterday. It was a beautiful afternoon at Capron Zoo. Beautiful outside, and we were.
I actually believe that.
I'm gonna take a selfie and send it to you.
I'm surprised you went to the zoo with the animals not being masked up. Were you upset? True. Did you complain?
I'm not going to say I wasn't nervous.
The lemur should have a mask on. I heard that from Joy Reid or from Chris Cuomo. It is amazing. I don't know where people get their information, but it is remarkable that today someone will go outside alone, run, biking, walking their dog, and put on a mask, and tomorrow they won't. Tomorrow they'll say, oh, good. I don't have to do this anymore. You never had to do it, you fool. But I don't know if we could. I'd love to talk to somebody who thinks that way. I want to explore the mind, the sick poison mind of a lemming who says, I can't wait for the government to give me permission to go outside and breathe the air. I'd love to hear someone like that.
Had some people yesterday in the comments that were all angry at the mass discussion that you were having. So I'll put the number in there. If they want to call in, they're more than welcome.
Explain to us why you would ever wait for word from the governor or the government before you went outside and breathed freely. But here's the one thing you need to know about the president's speech last night, Turtle Boy. I know you were busy in your own political fight, and I'm rooting for you, pal. I know you're. I know that's the first step, school committee, and then it's on to
Board of Selectmen, maybe
Senate, and then to the House of the Senate, then the governor, and then pretty soon it's going to be Turtle Boy in 32 or something, Turtle Boy for president. I don't see any flaw in that. I don't see anything that would hold you back. I mean, you're going places.
No clips or anything. Nope.
You are going places, my friend. But there were 50. There were 100 congressmen, 100 senators. They each had like their own row, social distancing. Everyone was masked up. Even people like Ted Cruz, who refuses to wear a mask on an everyday basis in the Senate. He's a rebel. He and Rand Paul have lost the mask because they're vaccinated and they're following the science. But the CDC issued guidelines this week, I believe, or it could have been late last week, this week, that if you're vaccinated and you do not have to wear a mask if you're socially distanced, indoors, outdoors, doesn't matter. So what you had last night was 100 congressmen, 100 senators, a bunch of security people, the president, the vice president, the speaker of the House, all violating, all going against CDC guidelines. You had the ultimate theater, the ultimate Fauci mask theater, because you had a national TV audience. You had the leader of the free world, who obviously took the mask off when he made his speech. That would have been something if he didn't, because he struggled just to get through it without a mask. But you had all these people, Turtle Boy, and they were going against CDC guidelines. There was no reason for them to wear masks. There was no reason for them to have no one near them to be socially distanced. They did it anyway. So the theater goes on. I mean, as you know, these people, here's a picture of it. It looks like one of Biden's campaign rallies. It was sad. It was flat. And here's what I didn't understand is it's supposed to be a little bit, dramatic. And a year ago, Trump honored Rush Limbaugh along with a bunch of other people, a kid whose father died in the line of duty, and, a new immigrant. And, it was really emotional. It was really a well-done production. There was
none of that. It was like they were great, great State of the Union.
There was none. He didn't do any of that. He didn't have anyone in the audience. He didn't, you know, he made up stories like he always does. My mother said to me one day that Joey, when, you know, he's lying, but
it's just a bunch of vague bullshit that sounds good when he writes it or whoever speechwriters write it about America as an idea and like trying to sound profound, but it really just amounts to nothing.
It did. Well, I came to this conclusion that if you're a Democrat, these are really easy because all you do or your speechwriters do is make a list of everything. You know, everything you're going to do, every program you're going to start, everything you're going to spend money on, you just make a list of everything. You don't ever talk about, you know, tax cuts or fiscal discipline. You don't ever talk about shrinking government at any level. All you do is say, we're going to do everything. You know, we're going to tax the rich. He went on this rant about taxing the rich.
And we're going to live in, like, we're going to live like the Jetsons. We're just going to create all these new green jobs. That's what I kept hearing. We're going to live and we're going to build motor ships in outer space and do this and that. Like, these people, there's no plan. They have no plan for any of this stuff. All they know, it just sounds good to them.
Right. And he actually said, and a lot of people were tweeting about this, but he said it before. He said it during the campaign. He was going to cure cancer. This is a guy who can't walk up a flight of stairs. And he's going to, this is a guy who's grabbing his dog's tail when he's naked walking out of the shower. And that guy is going to cure cancer. Here's what I want. When you finish listening to a speech like this, an hour long list of things we have to do in this and things to improve this awful, racist, unfair country, I would like to talk to the guys who've been in Washington for the last 45, 50 years, you know, in the Senate, in the administration, and say, what have you done to my country? I mean, if you're a guy who's been in power for 50 years, don't you have some explaining to do? Because that guy last night, that, you know, that new guy, that outsider, Joe Biden, he gave a whole list of things that are wrong with this country. And you're sitting there going, wait a second. You know, you were in the Senate for 36 years. You were in the White House for 8 years. You're back in the White House. How'd you let this whole thing go so
Trump,
badly?
Trump in 4 years, just let it all happen, Jerry.
Right. You have Trump. Trump comes in 4 years and it's all his fault. The guy who's been there 50 years is saying, oh, how about tax the rich? Well, I mean, you were just in the White House with Barack Obama, you know, for 8 years, two radicals. Why didn't you tax the rich? I mean, why didn't all the problems get solved?
Systemic racism, Jerry. Everything is systemic racism's fault. That's what it comes
down
to.
We're in the 21st century. We're at a great inflection point in history. We have to do more than just build back better. We have to build back better.
Oh, build back better. I like that one.
Yeah, we have to do more than build back better. We have to build back better, which is a great point, let's be honest.
Did he tear up his speech afterwards?
But here's a thing that broke before the speech and went kind of viral, and I'm not even sure if he read it correctly during the speech. But he said the attack on January 6th, you know, the insurrection, turtle away, the insurrection where they were going to overthrow the government, install a new system. Viking Man was going to be the new God King. The guy who put his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk was going to be the Vice Assistant God King. Whole new system. It was going to be fascism and dictatorship and tyranny. They were this close, as you know, to beheading all of our leaders. They were this close to beheading AOC and Mike Pence and taking over the government. I mean, we dodged a bullet. We all know that. That insurrection where 300 people trespassed and a unarmed female protester got shot in the neck by an unnamed Capitol Hill police and killed. And that was the only person who was killed that day. That insurrection, I don't know if you heard this, was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. I need you to check on this for me, Cullinane. Did he actually read the line correctly? Because when they released the speech,
no, that was out in advance. So he just said, I'll play it right now. He names a bunch of things and just said, face the worst attack on our democracy. But we know what he was alluding to.
100 days since I took the oath of office and lifted my hand off our family Bible and inherited a nation, we all did, that was in crisis. The worst pandemic in a century. the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
There you go.
He actually said that. And
do you not remember 9/11?
I mean,
this, Pearl Harbor.
He was born 11 months after Pearl Harbor, a guy who grew up, you know, in a, was born in a during World War II. And one day his father pulled him aside and said, Joey, someday there'll be a bunch of hooligans who storm the Capitol. That's worse than what just happened to Pearl Harbor. You know, and he said, Dad, you're right. But it became, here's what happened.
Oh, hold on, before you go, don't forget, I mean, this is a guy who will, look at this tweet. Did you see this tweet last? It was this one. Sorry, wrong one. Did you see this tweet? This is somebody who's going to write the book about, you know, probably this year. This is how
they view.
This is from a once respected historian.
I've read this guy's books too. He's like he's one of the most respected historians out there. He's lost his mind. This is what Trump did to these people.
Yeah, right. Trump broke this clown. This used to be a respected historian, writer, and he says in advance, by the way, because I tweeted at him and pointed out what a sad, petty partisan clown.
You showed him.
He is. And a lot of other people did too. I mean, Michael Beschlossen, who's the clown that writes for Meacham, the guy who was on MSNBC talking about what a wonderful speech Biden made during the campaign, and we found out later he wrote it. He was secretly on Biden's payroll writing speeches and then going on TV and saying how good they were. People like this are historians, and you're right. Trump broke them. But as I point out, I mean, this is just a partial list. You're a big history buff. Obviously, the first reaction to this everybody had was, what about 9/11? We lost 3,000 Americans on our own soil attacked by Islamic extremists. Pearl Harbor, we lost, 2,300 sailors, soldiers in Hawaii that day. That's a pretty big attack on our democracy. That he thinks January 6th, where again 300 hooligans stormed the Capitol, just like all the feminists did during the Kavanaugh hearings, they interrupted proceedings in the Capitol. They didn't kill anybody, you know. They didn't have any guns. They didn't fire a shot. That's worse than 9/11. Worse than the Marathon bombing. Worse than Oklahoma City. Worse than Pearl Harbor. Worse than, I mean, think of the other things. I was coming up with a few others. Lebanon, the Marine barracks were 200.
How about the fact that four presidents since then, Jerry, have been assassinated, including Lincoln.
I think I saw somebody tweet yesterday. It is believed that Flight 93 was headed for the Capitol. Right?
Yes, it was. That's a good point. That was their intended target.
I would say
the attack that day. What's a bigger attack on democracy than killing the president that the people elected?
That's a good question. I'd say the fact that some idiot, you know, rube, you know, oath keeper took the podium and tried to walk out of the Capitol. I'd say that is right up there with shooting, JFK in the head. I mean, this clown, Michael Beschloss, if you're just listening and not watching on the YouTube, he says, Joe Biden is absolutely correct in saying tonight that January 6th was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War, period. Did he get ratioed on this?
Exactly what I was just going to ask. Did he get the ratio he deserved, or did people actually agree with that?
He got 22,000 likes and 4,200 retweets. I mean, even if you love Biden and hate Trump, I mean, you have to admit Beschloss should have a clown nose. He should be mocked and ridiculed. This is a partisan hack. That's not a historian. If there were one thing and it were, you know, only 9/11 or only Pearl Harbor they forgot about, you'd say, well, it happens to all of us. He overlooked something. But the idea that a bunch of vandals in the Capitol is worse than 9/11, is worse than Pearl Harbor, that should offend
people. Wasn't the worst attack on democracy during the Trump administration. Let's not forget, a crazed Bernie bro, radicalized by his propaganda, went and shot members of Congress, including one of the highest ranking members, the House Whip, Steve Scalise, and Rand Paul. I mean, he's a pretty prominent senator. They shot them both. And this is, how is that not a tie? They were elected by the people, right? And they got shot because a crazed Bernie supporter, radicalized by lies about them trying to take away your health care, got them, this guy to just like, I need to kill them. And that's what he did.
And the FBI classified it as suicide by cop, not terror, you know, not attempted murder, suicide by cop. In other words, that guy Hodgson was trying to commit suicide. So he shot a bunch of congressmen and waited for the armed guards to shoot him dead, which they did. But they didn't want that to appear to be, you know, an attack on a democracy. But it brings out just the insane, like, you know, the partisanship where you can't even admit that is wrong. You can't even admit that is stupid. It's like right afterwards when Gloria Borger, as soon as the speech is over, she said, let's be honest, the man behind Operation Warp Speed is Joe Biden. And I go, and everyone's on going, what? Operation Warp Speed started in May. vaccinating a million people a day when Joe Biden
misspoke there. She misspoke there, but the fact is, it's worse because nobody corrected her. But I think she just misspoke.
She wouldn't apologize. Just like all the guys on Twitter who called Tim Scott and Uncle Tom.
They're calling him now. Uncle Tim.
Uncle Tim, right? Uncle Tim was trending. Is it still trending? I don't think. Yeah, it is still trending. Uncle Tim. But a bunch of liberals went after Uncle Tim, who we know lied. You know, his great-great-grandfather actually owned a couple of acres that he was working on down in South Carolina. So, you know, we know he's a child of privilege.
The Washington Post actually did. That's insane.
But Turtle Boy, to his credit, Tim Scott spoke for like 10 minutes, right? 15 minutes. He brought it up and it was great. He was very emotional. He brought up what Glenn Kessler, that hack at the Washington Post, wrote about him and took a good shot at him. It was pretty good. That thing totally backfired on the Biden / media because Tim Scott is a likable guy, and you know he didn't grow up with any privilege just because his great grandfather owned some land. They still work that land, and he still grew up poor, and he still grew up in a broken home. I mean, and he made that clear in this terrific speech. Here was the big controversial line, and you can find it, Cullinane. It's out there, of the night. I'm going to say, I don't even know if I should say this. I should be like Erica Nardini on Barstool, and they should bleep this out. We'll get to that. This is interesting. We'll get to the Ben Shapiro, Dave Portnoy sit down, which you were the first to criticize, and you forced me to listen, and I hate you for it. But anyway, Tim Scott comes out after, you know, Joe Biden's tired list of all the things government's going to do for everybody. And by the way, doesn't even mention the border crisis. Doesn't even get into that at all. Nothing to see there, folks. Tim Scott comes out in the middle of a speech and says, you ready for this, Turtle Boy? This could get us taken off YouTube forever. America is not a racist country.
Ooh.
Now, that was a hot take from Tim Scott, a senator, which I assume he'll be banned from Twitter, taken down. It'll be taken off YouTube. Will be taken off YouTube. I mean, you can't just say something like that, something crazy like that. A black guy who grew up in the South, who made it from, as he likes to say, cotton to Congress in one generation, a senator who says America is not a racist country. And I wish it were in a full chamber so we could hear who cheers and who boos. Because as I point out, in one line, he destroys the entire, you know, Biden-Harris agenda. Right? Everything they do, everything they say is based on this lie that the whole country is racist.
Systemic racism.
Systemic. Kids are being taught that the color of their skin defines them again. And if they look a certain way, they're an oppressor. From colleges to corporations to our culture, people are making money and gaining power by pretending we haven't made any progress at all. By doubling down on the divisions we've worked so hard to heal. You know this stuff is wrong. Hear me clearly. America is not a racist country.
Amen. Tim Scott.
Whoa. I mean, that's
he, you know what he's attacking? He's attacking. He's attacking.
Nice, nice knowing you, YouTube commenters. It was a good run. It was a solid 2-week run, but nice.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we could blame him for saying something. I mean, I'm distancing myself from that. But here's the amazing thing. The day before, Lindsey Graham went on TV and said, it's not a systemically racist country. Look at, you know, the country voted for Obama twice, even though he was not qualified for the office. Initially, they put him in office twice overwhelmingly. You have black Supreme Court justices, a black vice president. You have black leaders of industry. In fact, you have affirmative action programs in place by law. You can't discriminate on the basis of race by law. So systemically, systematically, we're just the opposite of racist. And
every major American city that is majority black, like Baltimore, is governed by black people. The police chief is black in most of these cities. The mayors are often black. Commissioners are black. What are you talking about?
And police chiefs and police are often it's often minority majority in police departments. So Lindsey Graham, to his credit, he doesn't always, have a bold take like this, says, I don't think it's a systemically racist country. And immediately he was getting killed. Yeah. By you can't say that. And, all the usual suspects on all the networks and all the, the Washington Post, New York Times are saying, I can't believe he said that. So a guy defends the country, defends the greatest country ever, the least racist place in the world, a place where there is, opportunity for everybody. We have equality. We don't quite have equity yet. We're working on it, but we have equality.
Just so he's the worst spokesperson for it. I mean, obviously, it means more coming from Tim Scott because he is black. But Lindsey Graham is just your typical old white Southerner, and so for him to get up there, and be like, there's no systemic racism. It's not the most effective speaker. I agree with him, but
I wasn't talking about effectiveness of the speech. I was talking about telling the truth, stating a fact.
Of course,
stating a fact. And it's not that he said it. It's that it is a bold take. It is. I mean, I was surprised he even said it. You think Mitt Romney would say that? I mean, do you think, Liz Cheney would say that?
Romney fell asleep last night.
That's true.
That's how boring it was.
Mitt was there, and he was nodding off. And Liz Cheney, I'm sure, was giddy because
hate her. God, don't get me started on her.
Little fist bump. They caught her running down an aisle to give Biden a fist pump before he took.
Get primaried. She needs to get the hell out of here, Jerry.
I'm telling you right now, Turtle Boy. Donald Trump will spend more time in Utah than Joseph Smith. Give him a.
Wyoming, Jerry. Wyoming.
I mean, one right.
Wyoming. He's not going to do much good.
You know what? He's going to go to Utah when Mitt's up for re-election. That's a few years away.
Wyoming's a lot more conservative than Utah.
Yeah, he's going to spend more time in Wyoming than, I don't know, who, Billy the Kid. Any of those old cowboys from Wyoming? Because he's gonna buy a residence. He's going to spend so much time in Wyoming trying to get her defeated. And he will succeed. Her latest poll, she's in like single digits. It's great. I can't wait to see her get booted out of office. But Tim Scott, and I didn't have high hopes because he's the police reform guy, and I don't think police reform should be top of the agenda right now.
It's playing into
the Democrats' hands. But all he did was point out he had a bill to reform police, and the Democrats filibustered it. Because of that racist filibuster.
Yeah,
they used the filibuster to stop his police reform bill, and he pointed that out. He didn't sit there and harp on, police brutality. He did mention Breonna Taylor and a few other people. I think he mentioned George Floyd. But we have a new icon, by the way, Andrew Brown, who was shot by police in North Carolina.
I've seen the outrage. I haven't researched into it, but I'm guessing there's more to the
story. You're guessing. I think you would be correct, but just so you know, he's the latest guardian angel. Elon Omar said that the new guardian angel for them was Dante Wright.
Yeah.
We'll step aside Dante Wright, because Andrew Brown has a rap sheet 180 pages long. He's 42 years old. He has 10 kids. He has a job, which is dealing fentanyl, and they've caught him on tape dealing drugs. He tried to take off. He got shot, and 10 minutes later, Crump,
shocked,
Al Sharpton, they were all there. And they will be
This happened as often as they pretend like it happens. You'd think that they could find a martyr who, you know, wasn't a fentanyl dealer or what, you know, somebody that just didn't have a rap sheet. Is it that hard to find like a nice, innocent guy like Botham Jean? I mean, that's the only one that comes to mind.
It's a good question. I think the answer is no. And you know what? We should get to Ayanna Pressley now, because Ayanna Pressley's my congressperson, as I pointed out. She's as bad or worse than anyone, any of the squad members, any of the radicals now in Washington. And she at times feels like she's being ignored. And she has to kick and scream and make a outrage, because, you know, AOC gets all the attention, or Ilhan Omar, or even Rashida Tlaib last week when she said, get rid of cops, get rid of prisons, let Derek Chauvin go free. Yeah, she didn't say that, but, you know, it was implied. He wants to get rid of prisons. And so Ayanna is sitting back saying, what about me? She tries to get the attention by saying outrageous, racist things. She keeps complaining about how the vaccine, there's too many white people getting the vaccine and not enough. She wants to make sure all the 20-year-old black kids get vaccinated before the 80-year-old white people. But anyway, this does not go viral. This does not make a splash the way everything AOC says and does. But she says yesterday, I just see it on Twitter and I go, what the hell? We'll play it. But Ayanna Pressley says, since the Chauvin trial ended, which is, what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks since Chauvin got convicted?
Yeah, it's about 2 weeks, yep.
70 people in America have been murdered by the police.
Is that true?
Yes. Let's hear it from Ayanna. I mean, I'm going to say she overshot that number by, 70, all right? I don't think anybody was murdered by the police in the last 2 weeks. I mean, obviously there are police shootings.
Killed, maybe. Like, they throw that word around like it means has no meaning, because of course words have no meaning to them because they constantly redefine words. But murder is an actual thing. Like, you,
right,
just because somebody was killed doesn't mean they were murdered. Okay, dear? Right. That's not how this works.
So she's including, I assume, every cop who shot a armed suspect, every cop who shot someone who's shooting at them. She's including Nicholas Reardon, the hero, sure, the 23-year-old sure hero.
Anybody who's ever fought in a war, like, is a murderer, according to her. Like, every World War II veteran who, like, shot a Japanese guy is a murderer.
But if you followed it up and you said, among those 70 people who were murdered by police, do you include Micaiah Bryant?
Oh, no doubt.
And no, you know, no, what her answer would be, Turtle? Her answer would be, of course, she was shot in cold blood by that officer, Nicholas Reardon, in Columbus. So the guy saving the life of the woman in pink, who we haven't heard from yet, we should. She has to come out and thank the cop. She has to. We saw it. We all know she'd be dead right now if not for Nicholas Reardon. But it doesn't matter, because Micaiah Brown is of one race and Nicholas Reardon's of another, which to Ayanna Pressley means Nicholas Reardon is a murderer. But
yes.
Can we hear from Ayanna, Dave?
Let me just stop for a moment and just be blunt and talk about how we arrived here. Black lives have not mattered. They've not mattered since the very inception of this country, the original sin of slavery. And so for that reason, because Black lives have not mattered, our humanity has never been seen. That is why our Black children are adultified. That is why our skin color is criminalized. That is why our very existence is criminalized. The Derek Chauvin verdict of guilty is one example of accountability, not justice, because true justice would mean that George Floyd would still be here with his family, with his siblings, with his children. But I can't even approximate for you, Don, because Black lives matter just that little. I don't even have the data to accurately capture how many lives have been interrupted and have been stolen from families. Now, based on my quick assessment, since George Floyd's murder, 100 people have been murdered at the hands of law enforcement. Since the trial, 70 people have been murdered at the hands of law enforcement. So what I want to hear from this administration and from all of my colleagues at every level of government is they are committed to passing legislation They are committed to systemic change.
That to me is more outrageous than anything I think I've ever heard from AOC or from, I guess.
I mean, did Daniel Dale do a fact check on that? He loves the fact checks. Can we get a fact check on that?
Daniel Dale fact checked Biden last night and called him out, called him a liar, or said he was not telling the truth about something. I guess it was that 9/11 line, but he took a beating for it. But yes, he did a little fact checking.
Black lives don't matter. How'd you get elected to Congress then?
She's a sitting congresswoman, a complete lunatic who is a sitting congresswoman making 170 grand a year, one of 435 cool. talking. And we know, we had a president for two terms, Congress people, senators, Supreme Court justices, business leaders, entertainers, everything. And black lives, their skin color has been outlawed or whatever she says, have been criminalized. And she flat out lies about cops. Here's what I'd like to know. If she has an event, given a speech, whatever, how could one cop, whether it's in Boston or in DC, one cop serve on her detail? How could you do that if you are a self-respected a police officer? This woman who says your people, police officers, have murdered 70 people in the last 2 weeks. Now, nobody has mentioned this. I've looked. I tweeted about it. I heard it. Nobody. It's of course it's not going to.
It just gets because it just gets lost in a sea of other lies that these people tell. All they do is lie. So it's just like another one to throw on the pile. She'll have another lie in a few days, and so will AOC and Ilhan Omar, and you'll just forget about this one.
But it's so. Not only is it outrageous, it's slanderous. It's like, yes, cops are out there killing, unarmed black people. It's a lie. And it's designed to divide people. It's designed to fan the flames of racial tension. That she is one of the worst racial arsonists there are out there.
How is she going to have a job, Jerry, if she's not going to say stuff like that? This is like what she does. This is what she's paid to do. This, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The last thing these people want is an end to racism, because they'll all have to get real jobs. They don't want this. They're all in the racism industrial complex.
But I'm just trying to point out to her, but that is more, even by that standard, even by the daily, discussion about systemic racism and everything else about the system, this is an outrageous statement, even by those standards, and it's amazing. Obviously, the Boston Globe supports her. Their whole mission is to fan the flames of racial hatred. That's what they do. But you'd think somebody in Boston, one of the TV stations, maybe the Boston Herald, would pick up on how ridiculous, how outrageous that is. Maybe talk to some cops, ask them how many black kids they've murdered today. 70 people murdered by police in 2 weeks. That is not only a lie, but it's a lie designed to get one part of society to hate another part. A lie designed to make the police officers the enemy of the black community. She is lying about cops, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's more controversial for Lindsey Graham to say the country's not systemically racist than it is for this woman to say cops are shooting unarmed black kids, and they've murdered 70 of them in 2 weeks. It is too bad we don't have a media in at least in New England. We don't have much of a media nationally that can focus on her. And what a liar she is, and what a racist, race baiter she is. She wants you, if you're black, if you're young, to hate cops. So the next time, there's a confrontation, she could say, see, there's this tension between the police and the community. She's the one that makes that tension.
Yeah, and that's the platform. Like, she gets, you talk about who's paying attention to her. It's platforms like that. Like, now this, like, they dominate, like, the political, social sphere of people that aren't really, like, going out and seeking additional information on politics or social issues, right? So they just go there, hear it, trust it, believe it, and now they're indoctrinated.
It's just wrong. And I understand that people are going to do that, but why can't we call her out? Honestly. Why isn't everyone calling her out? There's almost nobody who will even bring that up. Bring that up that a sitting congresswoman is accusing the police of murdering 70 people. If they murdered one person, two people in the last 2 weeks, it would be a huge story. It'd be national news. They'd be talking about it on all the talk shows, and everyone would be writing about it if they murdered one person. She's saying they murdered 70 people and they did it because of the color of their skin. It's just so ridiculous. And I know it's like a cry for attention. It's like, you know, I need to do something, say something, so I can get a little a bit of that attention that goes to AOC every day, or is going to whatever, Kamala. You know, somebody come look at me. I could say ridiculous things too, but as far as I can tell, Dave, I'm the only one who's brought this up. I'm the only one who's even mentioned it. It's amazing. It's amazing.
By the way,
you say something that ridiculous and nobody cares.
You got like 50% of what that post got in terms of engagement. You know, like, no, you got, and they have millions of followers, and you got, but she didn't. It actually, there's not a lot of comments or anything to see if anybody, you know, called bullshit on her or anything like that. It's all just nonsense. I mean,
right, how hard would that be to fact check, to say, let's see how many people in the last 2 weeks have been shot by cops? I know there was a bunch in the last week, and they all, obviously every one of them, that there's some level of justification. The cops have a reason. You know, they're mostly armed people shooting back at them. That's not murder. If there were a murder like Walter Scott in South Carolina years ago, where there's video of him shooting him in the back and the cop went away for life, and Tim Scott mentioned that last night, that's murder. That's prosecuted. That guy was convicted. If there were a murder, we would know about it. We would see it, hear about it, and that cop would most likely get charged and most likely get convicted. What else can you do? It's just so outrageous. And I understand that's her thing, but why can't people call her out? Why can't she face the criticism that she should when you say something so outrageous? I mean, obviously, I could talk to cops. You and I could call up and talk to cops, and they would say how ridiculous that is. But it would still be just us when the whole, you know, the media just looks the other way, or flat out, you know, carries water for her, like the Boston Globe. It's outrageous.
I feel bad for any cop that's like, probably in the 50-50 zone. If you're like 50% there toward getting your pension, I feel bad. You know what I mean? Like, if you're even close, you retire right now and get your pension, like, see, go. Well, you know what I mean? Like, just go.
The numbers are unbelievable. The people, cops who are retiring, we've seen it in the big cities in Philadelphia and New York. But you make a good point. If they've already vested, if they're already put in their 20 years and they get their full pension, they're looking around saying, why do I need this?
Yep.
Why do I need this aggravation? Why do I need to be demonized, villainized by these demagogues? And they're retiring in droves. All these big city police forces are down numbers because, you know, you got to go for 10, 12 months to the academy before you become a cop. And there's this lull where all the guys are just quitting and they're not being replaced. And it's making it worse, making life worse for, you know, who,
yep,
for black people, for minorities, for people in the neighborhoods that need the cops, and they're the ones, and you know, white liberals are saying, let's defund the police, or black demagogues in the case of Ayanna Pressley, they're the ones making the cops the bad guy. Cops quit, the people in those communities are the ones who suffer, and it's gonna get worse. It's already bad, but it's gonna get worse, and the blood is on the hands of people like her, like AOC, like Rashida Tlaib, who make the cops the bad guys, even when they're not. They make up lies about them, like this case, but maybe we'll see. Maybe Ayanna today will come out.
I'd love to get a better pulse. Like, remember, I mean, we played that. I mean, I heard from so many people about it, but we played that video of the cop mocking LeBron, which, by the way, like,
he's suspended.
Correct. 5 million views. They're doing an internal investigation into it, but it doesn't get 5 million views because people either aren't laughing or don't agree with him. You know what I mean? Like, 5 million people are watching that and they're entertained by it, right? So they
go, right.
And people do support the police out there. Like, it's
no question. No question. And I think there's a reason Biden didn't spend much time on demonizing the cops the way so many in Congress and Senate do. But the cop who responded in D.C. when the guy said, you're going to shoot me like Micaiah Bryant? And he said, are you going to stab someone? That guy was pulled off off duty, and he's under investigation. And then the cop named Sylvester, who did that funny video where he pretended to call LeBron, he's under investigation. It's all part of the same mentality that the cops are the bad guys. Now, if LeBron had any self-awareness, and he doesn't, if he had any sense of humor, and he doesn't, he would say, leave the guy alone. It was funny. I could take a joke, right? I mean, that's what he would say when he found out this cop who mocked him was suspended. But we'll keep an eye on that. See if he gets fired. You know, we need all the cops we can get, and they're going to fire guys for making funny, you know, 1 minute memes or 1 minute videos. We'll see.
He could also take the Julian Edelman approach and go reach out to people like that LA cop who posted that great video was beyond reasonable. He hasn't reached out to that guy. And obviously that's a one-off and he doesn't have to reach out to that guy, but it would be a good look for him to do something like that after looking like such an asshole. It would be a nice look.
And by the way, when you lose qualified immunity, you're concerned that all the money you've saved up and your pension could go like that once you lose qualified immunity and they can sue you for an accident on the job. So I think it's another reason guys are bailing. But all right, we got a few other things to get to. If you haven't really read or seen the story of the raid on Rudy Giuliani's office at 6 a.m. yesterday, you got to read at least this one detail to understand just how chilling this is. The Joe Biden DOJ, the Joe Biden FBI, is seeking out revenge against Joe Biden's political enemies. We know that. We know how this works. We saw what happened to Roger Stone when they sent 29 federal agents to bust this old guy at his home in Florida. But this, they raid Giuliani's office in New York, allegedly because he served as a foreign lobbyist without registering, which is a ridiculous charge. But anyway, they took all his electronic equipment. And according to Giuliani's son, they left one thing. They left one thing they didn't take, the FBI, and that was Hunter Biden's laptop. Now, I know a lot of people hate Giuliani and they might want to, you know, wait for the facts and see if there's any. When they leave a laptop that has the stuff on it that we know is on it, say, we're not interested in that. Let's find out if Giuliani was lobbying, you know, illegally. You know, they are partisans. You know, it is political. I think the fact that they left the Hunter laptop and didn't want to touch it, and Hunter's going to now teach a course in Tulane while Giuliani fights to stay out of prison, that should scare everybody. I don't care if you love Biden and hate Trump or hate Giuliani. That should frighten everyone that they're using. I believe there were 6 or 7 FBI agents who raided the home and took all his stuff yesterday morning because he didn't register as a lobbyist. I don't know if you noticed, but Hunter Biden made millions in the Ukraine. And I think the big guy did too, but they're not concerned with that, but we'll see how that plays out. I believe Giuliani's on with Tucker tonight, which should be interesting because he's a, you say what you want about him, he's a fighter, he's a New Yorker, you know, he's a prosecutor. He's not going to just roll over and take this. It's going to get ugly and it's going to get scary. I mean, it's scary, especially when you see whatever, the idiots who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, I think the number is 36. 36 are still in jail with no bail for trespassing in most cases. Some didn't even go in the Capitol. They were taking selfies out in the steps and they're still in jail. It is a scary time, but a couple other things. Oh, I want to get to the draft because I'm a draft Nick and I'm looking forward to tonight. I'm going to watch. Can't believe I do this now. I watch the draft. I like all the interviews. I like the stories. I like, you know, all the permutations, the trades, and especially the quarterbacks. And I'm just going to put the NFL on notice. If the first three guys are all white, I'm coming for you, Roger Goodell. I'm coming for you.
Yep. I'll just stop watching. I'll change the channel.
My antenna's up. Me, I'm just like Max Kellerman. I'm not going to be happy if the first three guys are all white. We know the first two are white, and we're pretty sure the third guy's white. And if that happens, there's hell to pay, Roger Goodell. There will be hell to pay. Now, if the next 27 guys are all black, I'm okay with that. Me and Max and me, we're cool. Max and I, we're cool with that. But if the third guy has like light colored skin and, you know, he's not, you know, an African, I'm going to be really upset.
I think it was a couple weeks ago. I said that Keith Olbermann would be a guy you'd want to sit in a room and debate. I would have loved to seen you on a panel if he said that. I would have loved to have been there in the room.
Yeah, see, I think Keith Olbermann's smart. He's completely insane. And he's smart. Max Kellerman is not. You know, he's not. And to me, the amazing thing, it's almost like Ayanna, is you could say something that stupid that ignorant, that insane to say that I'm coming. I'm the NFL's on notice. My antenna's up, and if they take a white guy, number three, San Francisco takes a quarterback, and the quarterback is not at least part African American, I'm going to be upset. And nobody cares. I mean, I talked about it, and the Outkick guys, Bobby Burick, wrote about it. But nationally, I saw hardly any criticism of Max Kellerman for saying something racist and outrageous like that. Or the other guy, whatever his name is, McKenzie, the writer for ESPN, who said the NFL is trying to make the position of quarterback as white as the lines on the field. You can write something that stupid and nobody cares because they're afraid to challenge you or attack you. So he gets away with it. And we'll see tonight if they will. I believe San Francisco will take Mac Jones 3. Thoughts and prayers, Max Kellerman. I hope you'll be okay. I hope you'll be okay if Mac Jones goes to San Francisco. And by the way, if he does, then the New England Patriots are the leader. Although Adam Schefter is saying that there are a number of teams interested if indeed the Niners trade trade Jimmy Garoppolo. We believe the Patriots are the leader in the clubhouse for
who cares what Adam Schefter's take is when Dale Arnold is reporting is breaking the Jimmy Garoppolo news from the clouds. Which what was the other story that he referenced that he broke before? Oh, he's the one who said Tom Brady was going to the Bucs first. Did he claim to have that?
Right, 2 months after we said it, I believe he said it. So, good for him.
He claimed he had it. Well, I guess you did have a source, right? Yeah, you were.
We did have a source, and you know who it was. And you were there.
Like, you didn't report it. You didn't tweet that out and fucking own it. Dale Arnold's going out there and being a big dog and owning this.
I don't remember what Dale said. He's got sources. He's broken stories. Usually, they're Patriot stories, Bruins stories. But here's was Adam Schefter. This morning, he says multiple teams are expected to contact the 49ers today to inquire about the availability of Jimmy Garoppolo per sources. But as of early this morning, the chances of Garoppolo being traded are, in the words of one source, remote. Let's see if anything changes in the next 72 hours. Now, they might want him to start and let the rookie learn for at least half a season, maybe a whole season. Now, the word is that's more likely if it's Trey Lance or Justin Fields, and less likely if it's Mac Jones, who's smart and apparently further along. And plus he's white, right, Max Kellerman? But maybe even if they draft Mac Jones, maybe they're going to wait to trade Garoppolo. But it does feel like there was a gentleman's agreement. When Belichick sent Garoppolo to San Francisco, we all asked, why did he get so little? He got a second-round pick. And the word was, he likes Shanahan, he likes the Niners, he likes John Lynch, and he wanted Garoppolo to be in a good situation, which seemed outrageous at the time. That's not Belichick's job. Belichick's job is to get the most he can get in a deal, and he didn't get enough for Garoppolo. I said it at the time, lots of people did. Well, if it felt like there was a little gentleman's agreement among friends there then, why not now? I mean, doesn't Shanahan and Lynch and the Niners, don't they owe Belichick like a good deal? And so I do feel like if he gets traded, the Patriots are a logical destination because Belichick likes him. Let's be honest. If Belichick likes a guy, that matters. If he thinks that guy can step in and run the system, that matters. So I do think if he's traded, the Patriots, A, have the need, a lot of teams don't, B, have the familiarity with not just the player, but with the other organization. So I do think if he gets dealt, he's coming here. And God knows he's a major upgrade over Cam Newton.
I'd say so. Yeah, I'd say so. It's a lock. I mean, and you've been seeing even during, and I guess maybe you don't have to read into it, but you've seen McDaniels with people from the 49ers, with Lynch or Shanahan. So you've seen a lot of pictures out there. There's definitely a lot of communication between the two happening, which, if you're the leader in the clubhouse, that's a good sign for you.
And we all agree Belichick is really, really smart. He knows Cam Newton stinks. He knows it. I mean, I understand now. I don't understand, actually, but I think he signed him because he can always trade him or he can make him his backup. He's only making whatever it is, $3.5 million plus incentives. But I wonder, and obviously Belichick knows better than I do, but I wonder if Cam Newton is built to be a backup. He seems like an alpha dog to his core. He seems like a really good leader, popular among teammates, been a starter his whole career, except when he was benched here. I can't imagine you look at Cam Newton and say, that's the guy we want coming off the bench. We want holding the clipboard. It does not seem like a good fit. Cam Newton is your backup. And I wonder if they can deal him to someone else and draft a QB. So they would have a rookie that they get either at 15 or they get in the second or third round. Let's keep in mind, Belichick has never taken a quarterback in the first round, not in Cleveland, not in New England, not when he had a desperate need for a quarterback. Obviously he had Brady. When they took Garoppolo in the second round, it was a big deal because they had Brady, right? It was like, why do you need him? So obviously they had Brady, he had no need, but you have to go back to the New York Giants with Phil Simms to find the last time a Belichick team took a QB in the first round. But this time it would make sense. I think you have to sell out everything if there's a quarterback you like, because no player in any sport, in any position, means more. Yep. You know, everything, if you get a good quarterback, everything changes. You're immediately a contender. You know, everyone else looks better, plays better if you have a good quarterback. If you don't, nothing else matters. Nothing matters. You could have the greatest defense, the greatest receiving core, offensive line, greatest coaching staff, whatever, the easiest schedule. Nothing matters if your quarterback is not good. You can write that down. You can quote me, because Cam Newton is not good.
I was thinking about this randomly with the other day with sports and stuff. Like Cam Newton is clearly not cut out to be a starting quarterback.
Not anymore.
In hockey, right? I monitor hockey a lot more than I monitor football. We talk about you can sign a guy for the intangibles in the locker room. And for some reason, you don't really talk about that in football. Like, there's nothing wrong with keeping Cam Newton around because he's good for the team. He's, you know, the energy around the club in the locker room is good. Keep him around. Just don't put him on the field. Like, why is that a bad thing? Like, why is football not adopted what hockey has? You know, you always sign an older player for the playoff run so people are kind of on the same page. And you know, I don't know. That's a thing in hockey.
I mean, I guess you could do that, but you can't do it at quarterback. I mean,
what do you mean? Like, he's not going to be a starter anywhere else based on what we saw last season. So why can't he be a backup and be a good guy in the locker room?
That's a good – well, you know what? I want – if you were older, maybe. I think you have to
– that's true.
Some guys just can't be. Could you imagine Brady or Peyton Manning being – a backup? Yeah. I mean, it just, they just can't be, and they don't see.
Clearly, Brian Hoyer has that intangible quality about him, you know, because they keep bringing him back.
Aaron Rodgers, you think he's ever going to be a backup? I don't think so. And they took a guy in the first round last year, and wasn't happy, and he went out and won the MVP. So we'll see. It's an interesting draft. I'm again hoping, God, please don't let him take three straight white guys. I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm nervous for my guy Dale. I mean, there's a lot of reports. Ian Rappaport saying it's not happening.
Give me the report. Let me find it. Dale's sources said.
Yeah.
Do you have Dale's report or Dale's tweet? Let's get that up there, because Dale Arnold, retired Boston talk show host, but a guy with some sources, is saying essentially it's a done deal.
That's what he said last night. I got to find it. I'm blocked by Dale Arnold. I don't know what I did. So
you
I don't
are? Okay, I'll find it.
See if you can get it.
You know, he's out on a limb, Dale. I mean, I guess, you know, out on a limb. He's stating flat out that the Patriots and the Niners, he says, what I've been told by a reliable source, Patriots are working on a new contract for Jimmy G. A new contract? Didn't he just get a contract in San Francisco that's like enormous?
He did.
Wasn't he the highest paid QB for like a week?
Yeah.
That could lead to a deal with the Niners. Same source who correctly told me Tom Brady had signed with the Buccaneers. Doesn't mean it will get done, but they are working on it. So Dale's source says that they are negotiating a new contract for Jimmy G. And once that's done, the Patriots and Niners will make a deal. That will work for Patriot Nation. I mean, that will work for New England. The Thornton Nation will like this because Belichick loves Jimmy. Jimmy knows it here. Jimmy, I mean, the idea that you could go into next season with Cam Newton or anybody, would go with Jared Stidham or a rookie, you get no hope. You get no chance if that's the case. If this is the case, it feels totally different. It feels like maybe Jimmy G, you know, is back where he belongs, and it all clicks, and you end up, you know, winning 10, 11, 12 games, and there is hope. So it will be a great move. And I think, I know, I can't imagine he dealt him there for a second round pick and he's going to give up a lot more than that to get him back? Do you think? I mean, more than a second rounder or maybe a second and a late round pick, but we'll see. That makes add some intrigue on draft day. But I want to get to one other thing. Can I do Shea here? Do
yes, Shea? You can. Of course.
All right. And then we're going to get to this Turtle Boy. He fell asleep kind of like Ted Cruz last night. But did you know that Shea Concrete is the largest manufacturer of recon retaining wall systems in North America? Well, you do now. In fact, in 2020, Shea set a new company record when they manufactured 178,000 square feet of retaining wall. This is a testament to Shea's legendary teamwork from engineering to manufacturing to dispatch and delivery. As the guys at Shea like to say, teamwork makes the teamwork. They do. I've been around them when they say that. Shea Concrete's high-performing precast concrete retaining walls stand up to New England's active climate and come in a wide variety of shapes, designs, and textures to meet your retaining wall needs. So whether you need a residential, a commercial, or an industrial application, Shea has a dedicated team that will assist you with conceptual design, site walks, and installation. Let Shea show you the way. Call Shea Concrete at 800-696-SHEA. That's 800-696-SHEA. Or just log on to SheaConcrete.com.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Did not get anybody to call in and say they're looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. In Massachusetts and a number of other places, we have gotten the order from our benevolent governors to take, you can take the mask off. You don't have to, and but you're allowed to take the mask off outdoors tomorrow. Not today. The virus is still out there. It's the scary, scary virus is still lurking out there today on April 29th, and it's ready to sneak into your lungs and kill you or your children today. But tomorrow, because of what the governor said and what the CD said, the virus is going to leave you alone if you go outside. It's this virus really keeps a tight schedule. It follows a tight schedule. So today, virus is out there, mask up. Tomorrow, virus is gone, no mask needed. I'm looking forward to go outside, finally going for a run, going for a bike ride without a mask. It's been a year. I've been sucking, on my plastic mask for a year. I hope other people are with me on this. I hope together we can tear the masks off and go about our lives. But I have my doubts. I think there are a lot of paranoid people. Are you going to go out without a mask tomorrow?
I mean, let me just settle down. I need some more time. I need more than 48 hours to address the situation mentally and figure out how I want to proceed, how I want to move forward.
I mean, the CDC says kids still have to wear masks at summer camp, but you don't have to wear masks.
Well, the zoo that I go, right? I go to the zoo just to kill time every day with my kids. Technically, they could still want you to wear a mask and I'd have to do it, right? If I wanted to.
Right. I mean, that's different. If a business, grocery store says you have to wear a mask, you do it. If you don't have to, you don't.
Correct.
But big day tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope everyone else is too. Get rid of the mask. Live your life. Well, summer's coming. The virus is going. Don't listen to your commander in chief and all the rest of those idiots last night at in the Senate chambers who were masked up against CDC guidelines. But anyway, we will leave it there. Thanks to Turtle Boy and thanks to DCU and Allied Paving and Shea Concrete and all our wonderful sponsors and listeners and viewers on YouTube. It's Thursday, so we have to ask nicely to leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcast. If you get a minute, we're almost at 4,000. Got to get up there, Dave. And how did our first week back on YouTube go?
First week has gone well. People are kind of getting adjusted to it. Facebook is everybody. A lot of commenters in the Facebook world, so I appreciate all you guys. I don't know why I don't mention Facebook when I mention YouTube. So we're live on Facebook as well. But you can go to Callahan Podcast and subscribe on YouTube. Very active in the chat. We got to get Jerry mixing it up in the chat. I don't know why he's not.
That's right. We got to do that one of these days. I'll do it. How about next week? We have a day where we chat.
Yep.
We take calls, we take comments, we we mix it up. We don't have to bring in any of our guys. We just do it with our listeners and our viewers. How about that? We'll do it next week.
Looking forward to those sporty calls and talking about Garoppolo.
Yes, that's true. Maybe we'll talk about the Patriots draft after a long weekend, and we'll make sure we'll never mention Ben Shapiro's name. That's not cool. We won't do that, but we will talk about who will be the next New England Patriots quarterback. We will be all, and I'd like to see also if anyone picks up on that outrageous comment from my crazy Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. Hopefully they do, that she doesn't just get away with it. But we will see, and we will leave it there. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Podcast, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.
7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.